on this episode of Podigious.
Well, by this logic, the bridge on the next frame is a new character.
The bridge is a very important character, apparently.
You're gonna need a password. You can use mine to get on the internet.
Podigious.
Welcome to Podigious, episode 006, Try, Try Again.
Adventure Try PV.
Recorded August 4th, 2015.
Podigious is your critically nostalgic analytical tour through the Digimon multiverse. I'm Jeff Ruberg, and I'm joined by Ashley McDonald.
I tried all day to think of a new response to this, and I failed.
Really? I forgot this, we even did this thing.
Yes.
Not the podcast. I mean, the call response thing. Anyway. And Asher Sofman.
See, I never had a response to this. Like, I'm normal here.
Speaking of never having a response to this, Andrew Sofman.
What the heck is even going on anymore?
Exactly.
This week, we're looking at the second Try PV and getting pumped about Try, maybe? I don't know. I wrote that speaking for myself. I don't know what you guys are doing.
Getting pumped about Try. Why did you phrase it that way?
Because I had about approximately 2 seconds to take the Google Doc from last step, from the last Try episode, 004, and copy and replace things. And it used to say the long road. It said the long 6 month road leading down to Try. And I saw that and went to edit today. And I was like, oh God, they're only 3 months. It's been half the time. Whoa. And that made me pumped.
And we still haven't released that 02 retrospective.
Yeah.
And Ashley was never heard from again.
Yeah.
She has been dealt with. For speaking of the podcast that will not be named.
Deal with yourself. Deal with yourself. Squash Tamers. Screw this Try teasing crap.
No. People want both.
They want their cake and they want to eat it too. Is that what you're saying?
No. I would never say that. They want their cake mon and they want to eat mon it too.
Cake.
Yeah, I don't know why I might have verb into it. Digimon. That was a bad idea. Okay. So we have a bunch of news since, as Ashley mentioned, it has been a long time since we have had an episode. I don't know if you actually mentioned that, but I'm going to say you did. And I feel kind of bad because we released an episode last week and didn't really explain any of that or any of the long time, anything that's happened in the time since our last episode. And that was kind of because that episode was kind of intended to not really belong to any podcast, to just like be at the intersection of three podcasts and live in any of them. And so I didn't feel it was appropriate to like be like, hey, listeners of Digipodify and Lost Transmission, here's what happened to Podigious. So, yeah, it has been, I think, by now, about 3 months since the Try episode, which was the last episode released before the Odaiba special, Odaiba Day special. And, yeah, we still have the 02 retrospective, which is coming out soon. We've been saying that for three, I haven't saying that for 3 months, though. So, and I think it's actually coming out soon now. But.
Sure.
So right after that Try PV, I basically spent a week trying to get a YouTube video version of it working and ran into lots of hiccups and literally spent a week of almost full-time work on that while I was unemployed. And then the next week started employment. So that kind of, and that was also while Ash was moving. And so, and I think Andrew was graduating around that time or had just graduated. So there was a lot of movement, a lot of stuff going on. The onus is all on me though, because I was the one who was supposed to be doing editing.
Yeah, really. Like, what does my
we recorded
have to do?
It. It's
yeah.
It is a usable excuse by me. Well, I mean, the real excuse is not the real. The real reason is that there, because I knew we wanted to take a break before Tamers, there was not a, for most of 02, there was this pressure of like, need to get episode, need to release episodes so we can start with Try and do Try weekly, and like we need to get it ready before when Try comes out. We need to finish 02 before Try comes out. And once that was lifted, it was like, well, what's the point of anything anymore? And and since I knew we were taking a break, I was like, well,
why
did take
you
a break
take
anyway?
A break there?
See, yeah. Yeah, it was not the appropriate time to take a break. I totally agree. It was a mix of motivation. I was like, as I mentioned in the last podcast, like so excited to do weekly episodes for Try and just like huge letdown, and then spending a week working on a video version that like I was really ambitious about, had all these special effects and everything.
Okay, wait, this video version actually hurt my life because Jeff's computer had to be on constantly, and we had to like put a blanket over his computer so I could, you know, sleep without it glaring at me.
Well, because our desk is in the bedroom and some of us have a place to like put a computer permanently to like, yeah. But I learned that you can't really do lots of ambitious effects in special, in After Effects, Adobe After Effects. and have it render timely in a timely manner on a MacBook Pro. I mean, maybe you can, but not for a hour and a half or however long the an hour video. Like, I don't think things are meant to be so long. And yeah, I had lots of like graphics are moving around and stuff. And in the end, I think the only thing I had was a clip would change every 30 seconds. I think it had the video of the PV in the middle and had a thing with like our voices, like detached names, and like when we speak it would light up, and even that took like a day to render. So much. I hate that so much. Hopefully that means when we do videos in the future, I now have expectations set much lower and we'll only do minimal things and kind of get them out in a reasonable amount of time. But anyway, that's kind of like why I was really going home about releasing things. Really blah. Not really blah. Just, yeah. And then became busy with work. And anyway, so that was a long tangent about ourselves. But I assume a lot of people who listen to the show do not follow all the Digimon news on a day-to-day or week-to-week basis. So I just wanted to do a brief run through and of everything that's happened since, I think, the beginning of May, and discuss the things that we think are really important and kind of just run through and list everything else and anything that piques your attention. Is that a word? Is that a phrase?
Yes.
Piques your interest? Peak spelled with a Q. We have links in the show notes. You can go check out that in more detail, especially with this first category, which is products. So on June 18th, there was announced a new Digivice watch, which is a bunch of these are going to be Bandai premium shop items. And I think those are not actually super easy to get in the US, aside from importing.
Definitely not. You usually need a middleman for stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So someone in Japan that usually does this on a regular basis for these types of products.
Yeah. So this is a watch that also looks like a Digivice, but doesn't do the normal things we expect of a Digivice.
It's basically a watch shaped like a Digivice.
Yeah.
With an LCD screen.
It doesn't digivolve your Digimon.
It digivolves your style.
Oh.
It doesn't find other people with the Digivice watch.
You'll get beat up together because you'll be nerds. Okay. So, and then on June 23rd, there was a Chaos Dukemon figure arts announced, which is, I don't think Chaos Dukemon is in any of the anime, but is a like alternate skin of Dukemon / Gallimon.
It looks so cool though.
Are you seriously interested?
Actually? Want it. I want to make them fight each other.
So Ashley and I have a Dukemon / Gallimon.
But it's literally the same figure, but blue.
No, but I want them to fight each other.
Ashley, you could get paint and just paint ours blue.
No, I don't want that.
I actually like the color scheme of normal Dukemon better than Chaos Dukemon, but this one's like Jewish Dukemon. And he's blue and white. He's Israeli Dukemon. Anyway, on July 7th, there was announced a Adventure 2015-2016 calendar, which I think just has one image and then a bunch of dates underneath it, so, eh.
So that's a poster.
Yeah, not that noteworthy. Yeah. I forget when this was first announced, but we got more details on July 24th. Figures that are TK and Angemon and Akari and Angewomon together, those separately, but like TK on Angemon and Akari on Angewomon. And also Ken with Wormmon and a couple other Wormmon Digivolutions.
I want TK and Angemon. Crunchyroll has listed them for sale now.
Oh, they're actually on Crunchyroll?
Yeah.
For how much?
I think it's 90.
That could be worse.
Ash is like, screw that.
And this is why I have not bought figures like that yet.
It's 83 right now. List price. Ooh, of 88.
List price.
Don't make fun of me.
Okay, and there is, this has not actually been announced, but there's, although we have our apparently flyers, I think if you bought the, special 15th anniversary edition Digivice, which is the first, like the season one Digivice, in that package, there were flyers for a special 15th anniversary D3, but I don't think we have any more news aside from those flyers that are like, it's coming. And on July 28th, so this is the next couple ones are all like came out like a couple of days before and like during the Odaiba Day festival stuff. So there's a Omegamon Figure Arts R Wargame version. So it's like I don't know how you describe it. There's already a Megamon Figure Arts figure.
It's basically a re-release of the Omegamon figure that has attachments, which are basically just clear figures of Tai and Matt
on top. Yeah, like.
That you can put on top of it. And then it also has, like, a cloth cape instead of plastic.
And I think the actual the rest of his body looks different too, like from what I could tell based on what I've seen of the one we have. So it looks, at least, I don't know if it looks better, but I mean, it looks different in case you want variety in addition to all these other things.
I think it overall looks cheaper, but I would much prefer that he had a flowy cape.
Oh, you need a flowy cape.
No, it's also that his cape is so heavy and his body is a stick that it like literally can't stand up even with the stand.
Oh yeah, I forgot. I was thinking that the cape was a nice like a exorbitant thing, but now I realize like, oh, it's probably a cheaper thing to have a cape, but that means it's actually easier to stand.
Yeah.
Oh god, the cape is so annoying.
Cape is hella annoying.
It's only annoying because he is like not, he's not even a stick. He's like, he has like one joint that is his torso and it's just like literally a ball.
Yeah, it's like horribly designed.
I guess that's how most of those things work, but like, yeah, anyway.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if this is a new mold.
Yeah.
Or a retool.
I don't know what those terms mean.
It's a Transformers thing. Basically, a remold would be like a new like mold of the figure, but a retool would be like taking that mold and changing parts of it to make a different figure.
Mm-hmm. So the next thing was, apparently it was a mystery item, and people were wondering what it was going to be. And I don't know how it was advertised in advance, but there was this mystery item people were excited for. And it was announced at the festival, and it is Ty's goggles you can buy.
But wait, looking at Ty's goggles has made me realize that he wears a sweatband under his goggles, and that's really freaking weird.
But that was
always been like that.
But it's weird, and I only noticed
Did he pass the sweatband down to Daisuke?
No, he didn't. He kept it. He wears it.
Well, it's not the same thing about the sweatband.
Yeah, exactly.
He wears that sweatband all the time in O2.
Yeah.
No, he does not. He does not wear that sweatband.
Yes, he does.
No, he doesn't.
Actually, are you really so sure? I'm not sure.
Okay, he wears it in the winter, but when he's wearing his uniform, he does not wear it.
Oh, that's true.
Well, because you can't wear that at school. Actually, he wears it when he's rejected by Sora, which is the only scene that matters.
But that was in winter.
Exactly.
And there is also, in addition to the Omegamon while working version, this one's not a figure. This is a...
It's a model kit. It's basically taking the model kit reboot line and making an exclusive version of that model kit.
But the Digimon reboot thing hasn't been around. Like, there's only been one other figure in it, and it was this. But this is now clear instead of solid.
They basically just took the Omegamon reboot figure and model kit, and made it clear plastic instead of regular plastic.
Ooh.
And it's probably going to be just as expensive as the original.
I assume model kits are much more expensive than like ball joint figures. Is that right?
It depends. I don't know how big the original model kit was. And it was impossible to get once it was released.
I doubt this will be any easier to get.
Probably not. Did they say where this was being sold?
I don't know. It probably did, but there's so much news.
Premium shop.
Yeah, I think almost everything's been at premium shop.
Yeah.
And the last thing, which is the only one of these things that I am actually kind of considering, but also think is a bad idea and I shouldn't do it, but I'm kind of considering it, is a Digimon Adventure Tri Complete Selection Animation Digivice, which is basically a screw you to anyone who bought the 15th anniversary Digivice.
Not really. It's a screw you to the people who just wanted a Digivice figure, but didn't want the game.
Wait, is this another game?
No, this is just... Because the 15th anniversary one just was basically another virtual pet.
So this one isn't a virtual pet?
No. This one just, like, does sounds and stuff.
I see. It's just a toy.
Like, I mentioned this in the previous Godiva episode, where basically the Complete Selection is a toy line mainly for adults, adult collectors, where it's like, because usually the toys, like in this case, in the original case, the Complete Selection Kamen Rider belts were adult versions, since the original versions of the toys would be for kids and size for kids, and adults could not wear them unless they had like a special attachment that was sold like online. So it would be higher end, and it would just do like the basics, like stuff from the show and so forth.
Huh. Well, I'm not interested in it if it's not an actual V-Pet. It like lights up as all the different colors. You can like make it any color from the show, and you can make it play music. Like a butterfly in Braveheart, I think?
Yeah, to make it simulate like a digivolution sequence.
Oh, that's what I need. Pretend I have a digivolution sequence.
Or you can just use an iPod and speakers.
Speaking of mobile devices, that's all for products. Now onto mobile games, which it's there are kind of so many games. I had to flip them out into mobile games, console games. So I want to run through these quick because they're, I think, less important than the console games. And there are a bunch of them. So they're, Digimon Heroes, which is a match 3 card battling collecting game for iOS and Android, was actually originally Digimon Crusader in Japan, released in December 2012 and was terminated 2 years later in 2014. Came out on June 27th in localized into English in other countries in, I think, Romania, Australia, and New Zealand. And I think it's planned to come out in a wider US and other country release, but not sure when. But the fact that it was like, you know, is 3 years old and discontinued and terminated and no longer works in Japan kind of has me, I don't know, like, I don't know how much to be excited for. It's like,
Jeff?
Yeah.
It's out.
What are you looking at?
Google Play.
Yeah, I did not check Google Play. I think if you actually like load it on a device, it'll be like, nope. Because the same thing with the iTunes store.
It's incompatible. Never mind.
Yeah, with iTunes, if you click the link, it'll bring you to the iTunes store on the web, and then you go into the iTunes app, and it's like, nope. Okay, and then on July 8th, there was this game that was originally called Digimon Soul Hunter, and is a Korean mobile game with like chibi adventure, the adventure partner Digimon chibi style, and it looks actually pretty cool, and they do like, I don't know, they fight and stuff. And it was renamed to Digimon Soul Chaser, but there's still no real news of when it's coming out and if it'll ever be localized outside of Korea. So I don't know if that's going to be a thing. And then on July 14th, Digimon Lynx, that's Lynx with a Z, because of course, was announced. And I think the only info of it at the time when it was announced was a magazine scan. And I don't know, there's no news of it ever coming outside of Japan. I think there was, during the Digimon Festival, there was a video shown of it, so it's not just a magazine scan now that some of the news of it actually coming to the West. And the last thing was at the Digimon Festival. One of the things they showed was a Agumon smartphone Siri/Cortana/Google Now-esque app that lets you talk to Agumon and have him talk back to you, which I don't know why exists.
Why not?
Is this a thing that exists in other domains?
I don't know. It's kind of a thing in, GPSs, sort of.
Well, I can understand that they, like, partnered with a GPS system to be like, well, Agumon can give you directions. That'd be awesome. But, like, this, I don't know. I don't understand the point. I also don't understand, like, how much they actually got the voice actress to record of it. But whatever. And bigger news, more exciting news, is console games. So, I don't know. So, people who haven't been following Digimon games in a while, because, like, there were the games that came out and they kind of stopped coming out. I think the last couple ones were, like, Digimon World games for DS. But...
And we don't talk about that game.
Oh, Rumble? All-Star Rumble? Yeah, it wasn't that great.
I actually got migraines from that.
Well, okay, so there were three games that came out for PSP and Vita, part of a kind of similar. There was the Digimon Adventure PSP, which is like a retelling of Adventure, never released in the West. Then there was Digimon World Redigitize, which I think got decent reviews, decent for Digimon game reviews, and did not come out for the West. Those were both PSP. And then there was a Vita game, Digimon Story Cyber Sleuth, which got really good reviews. And a lot of people outside of Digimon, a lot of people who aren't Digimon fans are like, this looks really cool. This makes me interested, even though I'm not interested in Digimon. And it was released in Japan, got really good reviews of Digimon. And there were campaigns for a while, Operation Decode to get, I think the campaign was for both Redigitize and Cyber Sleuth localized to the West.
Well, just Digimon games in general.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was specifically though for like their goal, at least initially, was like for those two games.
Well, yeah.
And I mean, they've been campaigning for everything, but yeah. So they're on July 2nd. I think this was at, Anime Expo, I think.
Yeah. I think it was Anime Expo.
Yeah. Bandai Namco announced that it is coming to America finally. I think before that, a couple of days before that, there were like listings on like Amazon Canada or something. There was like, for it, and people are like, is this coming out? Whoa! And yeah, so it actually is. It's coming, although it didn't mention Canada. I think it was supposed to be coming out in America, Latin America, Brazil, Europe. When I read on America, I don't know where I got that from, and if it actually means America, or if it means US, whether it includes Canada or not, I'm not sure. So, sorry, Canada, I don't know about you. So it's actually coming out on PS4 and Vita, which is kind of weird, that it's being ported to PS4.
Well, the Vita's pretty much dead here.
Yeah, I mean, that's what took it a while for them to decide, because it's like, there's no market here anyway for Vita.
Which is sad, because it's actually a fun little system.
Yeah, and it has the Danganronpa games, which are the best games ever. And so that's coming out, which is exciting. I don't think there's a date release announced for it. It's just 2016. There is an Amazon page where you can pre-order it, which is weird because it's digital only. So I guess you can pre-order a code to then download it in the stores.
Yeah, that's what they usually do.
Yeah, but so the Amazon page says like December 2016, which everyone thinks is just a placeholder. So I hope it's sooner than that. I don't think there's that much work in localizing something like that. But if they're pouring it to PS4, that could be a lot of work. So I don't know. The other bit of console news is that the next Vita game called Digimon World Next Order is coming out in Japan on Vita 2016. So I haven't had a chance to watch a trailer for that. If there's a trailer, I think there's a trailer.
And people who like to import games, don't forget the Vita is region free.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
So that's all the game news. Now on to miscellaneous news. On June 12th, Digimon Fusion Season 2 is coming up back to Nicktoons, which I supposed to start in July, so I guess that's running now. I don't really follow Fusion airing, so sorry.
I'm not even sure if I have Nicktoons.
Yeah, I guess we have cable? I don't even know. I don't like cable. I wish we didn't have it. On June 17th, okay, so this is a bunch of, okay, this is actually news and matters. June 6th, 17th, Crunchyroll announced that they were getting Digimon, and it's only dubbed, which is sad, but it wasn't tragic because, like, okay, there were other places to watch sub Digimon online. But on July 3rd, Netflix not announced, because Netflix doesn't announce these things, but it was gathered from somewhere else that the contract for Digimon, the terms that Digimon was on Netflix, it was expiring August 1st. And
was that purposeful?
No, of course it's not purposeful. Like, I doubt when those negotiations are going on, they care about a day that is significant to the Digimon fandom.
This just seems mean.
Well, yes, it seems mean, but the universe can seem mean at times.
A lot of these places regularly rotate stuff out.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you have 364 other days to pick. Why you picked that one?
I mean, sure. I think there must have been someone on the Digimon side of the negotiations, I don't know, representing whoever owns such content, and who should have, you know, been like, maybe we shouldn't, you know, maybe what it was is that they started it on August 1st, and it was like, you know,
I mean, yeah.
2011. Yeah. August 1st, awesome Digimon guys, it's August, you love August 1st, so didn't think about what would it be like when it ended. But anyway, that is sad.
Or it's just Saban brands.
Yeah. So that's only in the U.S. I don't think there's been any change in other countries. I forget what the actual availability is in other countries, though, on Netflix. But at least we now have it on Crunchyroll, but only dubbed, which is sad.
Good news, everyone!
Digimon is back on Netflix in the U.S. So this happened after we recorded the episode. But now Digimon Seasons 1 through 3, dubbed and dubbed only, are back on Netflix. So unfortunately, no more sub, which was there before August 1st. But now you can find the dubbed Adventure, Zero Two, and Tamers, both on Netflix and Crunchyroll. And also announced at the Digimon Festival on August 1st is that there was last year, I guess it was this year, I don't know, several months ago, a Adventure Blu-ray box set in Japan that was like $1 million. But, you know, the series was released in Blu-ray and actually looked pretty good from what people, the pictures I saw of it and stuff.
That price isn't that bad.
So now there's going to be an Adventure Zero Two Blu-ray in Japan in March, and it is approximately like $550.
No, it's less than that.
Oh, is it? So it's 530. It's five.
It's probably about like, it's probably about $500.
Okay, so it's 52,800 yen.
That's a lot of
yen. It's a lot of yen, which is, why doesn't Google do this to me? Google. It's only $424.
Only. Yeah, I'm going to totally buy that.
Yes, okay, it's really expensive for a Blu-ray box set, but the yen to dollar conversion rate is really low.
Well, also, you have to remember the Japanese marketplace is a totally different market from America.
Sure, that's worth remembering, but doesn't really help me when I consider whether I should buy it for myself. So, but yeah, not that I would have, if I had a choice between the two, I probably would have bought Adventure Not Zero 2. Sorry, Ash. So now the final chapter is Trial News, and that is what we're here to talk about. So on July 30th, I don't know, all these things say July 30th. Wait, July 30 days or 31 days?
31.
31 days. So I guess these are actually there was like an event the day before the main August 1st event, which would be July 31st, which when it's July 31st in Japan is July 30th.
Actually, I think that was on August 1st. It's just the time difference.
Right, but I worked on July 30th, which can't have been August 1st in Japan. There is only one day possible. So there is news that the first movie, which I guess is being called Chapter 1, is going to be released in Japan on a home video on December 18th, and it's going to be in theaters November 21st, and will air for 3 weeks in 10 theaters in Japan and be in digital services. In Japan, you can rent it on digital services while it's in theaters. And I don't know what normally prices are like in Japan, but I mean, this one movie is going to be 8,000 yen, which is, what is that, like $60? That seems really high to me, but I guess that's just how things are in Japan.
It just really is. Like, if you compare this to the last two Gundam OVA series, which was Gundam Unicorn and currently Gundam The Origin, you don't want to know the prices for that.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely heard the anime series, that, like, the kind of the prices that you pay for a streaming service like Crunchyroll and Netflix or something, like, is a, like, tiny, like, it's like a penny dropped in a bucket compared to what people in Japan actually spend on Blu-rays, and like the money that studios actually make, it comes from Blu-rays, and like there's no way that money we spend on streaming services can actually compete with that. But I hadn't quite realized what that meant, that things are that expensive. It seems crazy. But yeah, the last bit of news is that there's a new PV, which is why we're here. Like we did for the last PV, we're going to watch it live, but we have a twist. We have an exciting, new, thrilling plot twist entering the mix. Do I have a soundboard clip for like an exciting twist?
That's very interesting.
Wait, no, I have a better one.
Oh God.
He's got pants now.
We're referring to Ash, who now has pants. So new twist is that Ash has not seen the PV yet, and we're going to watch it live and react to it, but it's going to be Ash's first time watching it. So
we're just going to let him react.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I don't want to talk over it.
I'm not going to react much because I'm really tired.
I don't want to talk over it. I don't want to, like, spoil your experience.
I don't care.
Does everyone have the link?
Yes.
But we need to wake you up, Ash. We need to,
I'm not going to.
Okay, I guess let's start on the count of when I hit zero. 3, 2, 1, 0.
Toei Animation!
Surprise, surprise.
Digimon Adventure Tri, what?
What's that? Never heard of it.
Oh, so loud. I still don't understand this floating crap. They're actually gonna do this? Is that how they walk?
Oh, don't be mad about it.
Their mouths can move.
Honestly, I thought they were very expressive this time around.
Yeah.
Compared to the last PV.
I don't know, that TK face is like not at all expressive, but it's followed up by
the Mimi face expressive, is so amazing.
Yeah, the Mimi face is pretty good.
And the Psy face. Oh, I love these faces, actually. This bridge is not very expressive.
TK and Kari didn't show expressions.
Also, New Girl face is pretty expressive. Another new girl. The same new girl?
How dare there be girls?
Like
Digimon exists. They jump.
The lines get thicker as they get closer. Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, usually lines get thicker because it's the same lines. But there are different lines that are drawn to get even bigger as they get closer.
Jeff, don't worry about it. It's Toei.
But this is good Toei.
Oh, I didn't realize that Kawagamon, like, appears under the plane, that he's not, like, always there, gets shoved there. Blah, blah, blah.
And then it just ends.
Anticlimactic. The poster looks way cooler, though.
Also, YouTube's new player, like, lines up the bar, like, right at the line of the blue and black. But yeah, the poster is amazing.
Makes me want to buy an Alphamon toy just to do that.
I can't believe you.
Why? Yes, you can.
Wait, how long has the Alphamon toy been out?
I thought it was new.
Whatever. I can't afford it.
Okay, so Ash, what'd you think?
That was pretty cool, actually. Although it still bugs me how identical Matt and TK look.
That totally bugged me in the first trailer. I didn't notice it too much.
It bugged me then, too. Like,
it's like they're related or something.
I don't know. I just feel like I don't even remember Matt aside from his...
In this one, Matt's just, like, there for a second. He's just standing. Yeah. He's so boring.
Like, I don't... Like,
at least TK talks to the camera and walks away.
Yeah, but his face is so blank. Like, he's one of the few where it's like, your face is still blank. You are nothing.
Should I use this Mimi face as an avatar?
Her, like, pouty face?
Best Mimi face.
It's a good Mimi face.
I mean, I really can't remember the animation being this expressive in the show ever.
The show was very expressive.
I think the movies were more expressive.
Oh, totally. Oh yeah. Especially Ty, and Ty had so many crazy expressions in our war game. They linger on the Rainbow Bridge for like 20 seconds though. Okay. So yeah, initial impressions, I loved it. I mean, I came to the first one with a certain amount of baggage, and I don't know what the right word is, like expectations, but like, I don't know, the context of how much I wanted to try to be a weekly series and like expected that and felt entitled to that and was disappointed by that, like colored everything about that for me. So I don't know how much of that, but this new one is just like divorced from that. So I'm able to be like, oh, it's amazing. Or, you know, if there actually is that big of a difference. But I think what they show the characters, what they show the humans doing is like much more interesting. They're actually moving. They're like doing things that are kind of, like in the initial thing, it only lasts a couple seconds where they're just like jumping through the clouds. Like at least they're each like doing something that is emblematic of their characteristics to some degree, instead of just like staying there and like we have to read into whether they're looking up or looking down. And
I just feel like it's such, like it doesn't convey anything about anything.
But like at least this starts to convey like what the animation is like. You know, there's so many little bits of facial expressions and just move, like you can get a sense of, like what it's kind of going to be like, and much more than just like seeing the character design, which was the main point of the last one.
Thought I watched Suritama to figure that out.
Suritama, the only person in common was the character designer, which I think is very different from, I don't think the character designer has any real say on the fluidity and motions and characters and like facial motions and stuff. I think that would come, I don't know who that would come from, because that seems like too low level of detail to come from an episode or animation.
It's probably the director and the producer.
But I would think the director would kind of like, you know, storyboard things out, and like those seem like details that are too small to be conveyed in storyboards. So I don't know.
I bet it's possible.
Yeah, I don't know too much about that, but yeah, it's totally possible. What else is there? I felt like the music worked a lot better in this one. Like it actually felt like it built tension correctly. Like before it seemed to be like a bit too long for the music, and it kind of like looped, and not really looped, but like built up tension, then that kind of fell down, like it built up again, then it fell down. And I felt like this is weirdly paced. But this one, I feel like it maybe this one just built up better, like showing them just like long lingering shots and then went to a fight kind of worked better. I don't know, there's a lot more things about this that excite me.
It's kind of weird how it's like goes from slice of life and then boom. Fight between two Digimon coming out of nowhere.
Yeah, like it's completely separates the kids from the Digimon. Like it introduces you to all the kids in their little jump shots. Then it goes to them doing something realistic in the real world. Then it shows all the Digimon doing a jump shot. And then it just goes to like there's only that one girl who's holding a Digimon who everybody thinks is going to be evil because she does the glasses thing.
But no, I think, I don't know, there's been some discussion about, like, what is going to be, I think people expect a lot more to be revealed in this one, and we're kind of disappointed that it didn't really reveal anything new or anything like that. And I feel like what you're talking about, like, oh, like, they're keeping the humans and the Digimon separate, like, I feel like that is the kind of thing they're holding up their sleeves to never spoil. You know, like that moment where they get reunited and we actually see them together. I guess we've seen that in posters, but I think that's really going to be like the thing that people have, quote unquote, the feels over.
But I mean, you don't have to show that moment and it would still be cute. You could show other things.
I mean, like other things of them together?
Yeah.
Also, it's kind of weird to show a scene that involves Greymon but not Ty.
Yeah.
Because usually Greymon is around because of Ty.
Sure, sure, but they're definitely going for the vibe of the Greymon versus Paratmon fight, and at least the sense I've gotten from this, and maybe I'm colored by, like, maybe this isn't so much, like, immediately obvious from the trailer itself, and, I don't know, for the other trailer, I kind of, like, viewed the trailer, had my own theories, and read a bunch, and this past weekend, past couple days, I've been, like, way too busy, I haven't had time to read forums and stuff to see lots of theories, but I did listen to the Lost in Translation episode, which I think was released today or yesterday. Discussing this PV, and they mentioned something that they think, so I think everyone when they're shown their slice of life shots is shown holding a phone. I think that's true, or at least implied, like they're moving, they're looking at a phone. I think a bunch of them are holding a phone, but not everyone. I
remember TK and Kai holding.
Yeah, so I think it was May's theory that she thinks that, everyone is getting a text message and being like, you know, something's going on, we need to do something. And that's why some of them look kind of annoyed because they're like, well, what's this? Especially Ty, just like talking to some dude. Who we can speculate on that dude, who that dude is later, but, so yeah, that, like, I think that kind of the pacing of the trailer kind of seems like, you know, it's like they're slice of life things and there's this thing going on. Like, I kind of assume that's like, you know, a Digimon has come back to the real world. They need to deal with it. This is the inciting event. Is that the right word? Use of incite? I don't know.
So you think the fight came before? Because, like, clearly the kids are in the day.
I think they're in their daily life. And, like, oh, you think, like, yeah, okay. I guess you mean, like, there's ones at night and ones are in the day.
Yeah.
I don't think about this thing called time.
Yeah, I think about that.
Maybe it's in America.
It's Japan.
The plane? I don't think there's any indication where the airfield is. Also, I'm pretty sure that they put the fight in an airfield just to, like, have the, like, connotation between Kuwagamon and airplane, which, from that episode of Adventure.
Well, I would not be surprised if that's Naruto.
Well, is there any information to actually make it clear where it is? I wouldn't assume it's somewhere else aside from the time thing. And the time, yeah, it could totally not be that it's supposed to be around the same time. I don't know. There's not enough to read into that too much. That's just the vibe I've gotten from the pacing of the trailer. And the pacing, that could be totally artificial. That could be just what they're trying to get you to think.
See, I just don't feel like they're trying to get you to think anything. They're just like...
Because I don't think that the story and the plot are supposed to be important at this point.
Sure, because it's all just like nostalgia-based.
Okay, yeah, sure. So it is all just like just trying to cash in nostalgia. And like, would this actually be interesting to someone who has not seen Digimon as a question there for later, so I don't know why I just mentioned it. Like, I don't know how much this trailer would work without any nostalgia, but I don't know. I don't think it's necessarily wrong that they're... I feel like it's not like... You know, like if, to some degree, the last trailer was just like, here are the kids! Isn't that awesome? Let's just say who the cast is. And this one, at least, is like showing them things that are like signs of what is to come. Not in a plot way, but in a way that makes me more confident about the quality. The brief bits that I did read discussing the PV was, I think it was from Markham with the Will, I don't know too much about this, but he was speculating that I don't know how he would have gotten this. Like I don't know if like the stuff that's on YouTube is actually the like, you know, high quality release of this, but he said that it looked like the frames. So apparently in animation, there are new frames on every third frame. That makes sense. Like, I don't know how that, but like this is every second frame instead, which means like a lot more work and a lot more effort. And I don't actually know if that's a thing or true or not. I don't know too much. I'd never heard of this, that it's on every third frame before. So I'm going to have the person ask about this, but that seems like a lot of effort and seems really intensive and expensive, but also seems weird. Cause like when things are like live action that is filmed at a higher frame rate seems totally weird and wrong. So I would be kind of surprised that like it wouldn't be more noticeable if they did that, and actually might seem wrong if it's different than all other kinds of animation. But yeah, I don't know.
Whatever.
There's still the lighting is kind of weird whenever there's a lot of lighting, but all the characters look cool. And I think they also look a lot more distinctive when they're shown in motion.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep coming back to Mimi's face. Any other initial impressions or animation quality?
I just think it should not have been Kuwagamon, because Kuwagamon just keeps crawling back.
Yeah, that's his goal, or that's his purpose.
It's kind of annoying.
If you want an enemy that will invoke the nostalgia that is just a whatever the equivalent of an episodic villain is for such a thing like this, which is going to only have 6 episodes, I think he's a perfect fit for that.
Actually, it's kind of funny now that I think about it.
That he's coming back?
No, that it's a Kuwagamon in an airport.
You mean because he attacks the airplane?
He is the one who attacked the airplane, right?
Yeah, no, I thought I made that clear. That's what I was like, I think they just chose the airport because of Kuwagamon, having that connection from that episode. Yeah. I don't know if the airport will actually play into it more, because that seems like a weird thing to like animate that plane just to be like, oh, look, it's Kuwagamon. You remember him attacking an airplane? Also, I thought when we saw the fight between them in the first PV, it looked like they were under a bridge. I'm making that up. Maybe making that up. Maybe it just like reminded me of the fight in Hikari Oko, which looked like that in their bridge. Okay, so new characters. So first new character is...
Actually, Jeff,
yeah?
Back on the last PV, the previous PV, it's still the airport.
Oh.
And that is definitely a Japanese plane.
How can you tell?
I think it looks similar to... one of the planes has a Japan Airlines logo.
Oh.
Or something resembling it.
Where is that in the... All I'm finding is the Omnimon, or Omegamon and Alphamon fight.
It's like right before that.
It's like...
It's only right a couple seconds.
That. Yeah, but it's like clear that there are buildings there.
I see. Oh yeah, totally.
Yeah, I see red on the plane, and it looks like a semicircle pointing up, which resembles the phoenix on the... Or whatever bird that is.
Could be a Japanese plane landing.
Oh, it's a crane.
Oh. See if we can get a screenshot of that. Put in notes. Yeah. Okay. So new characters. There is... Okay. So this is going to be around 49 seconds in the new PV, obviously. There's a character that Ty is talking to.
He's probably just a student.
Right. I really can't tell. Like, it's from the context that it's just like character Ty's talking to is like barely featured. Like it seems like he might not be, it might just be a random design that's just a student, but like the camera starts off on him and then pans to Ty, which I don't know.
That's just the way the scene is framed.
But like when you're choosing scenes to be in the trailer, why would you choose a scene with a random new character who is not an actual important character?
Maybe he's preventing Ty from going somewhere important.
So yeah. I think
that's why Ty looks really, really annoyed.
So my immediate assumption was Joe, because it's literally right after the scene with Joe.
Yeah, but Joe has glasses.
And it also, like, Joe's scene, he turns to the left and, like, ends up in the same, like, almost the same pose. Or, like, is turning his head the same way. But the hair is a little different. I think it's a different color, but I'm colorblind. And Joe has glasses and this guy does not. So
it is not at all Joe.
Why would Joe be in the same hallway as Ty at his school?
Well, to be like, we need to go. And then
it's
he'd be
not
like,
Joe.
And Ty's reaction makes more sense to Joe, because he'd be like, Joe.
Yeah, but it's not.
No, it is definitely not Joe.
It's definitely not Joe. They don't have the same hair. He's not wearing glasses. It's not Joe.
So apparently a bunch of other people have speculated it's Ken.
Yeah, that's one theory I saw.
What? I saw that the other new character is Ken.
Wait, which dude are we talking about?
The dude that's talking to Ty and like...
Oh, never mind.
Okay, so you don't think this person is believed to be Ken?
I don't think this character's important.
Yeah.
I don't think this character is important.
Also, why would Ken be in the same class as Ty?
I don't know if Ken would be supposed to be this much taller than him, but yeah, I think I think this is just a not important character that is just a random person. I think it was a weird decision to feature them this prominently in the trailer.
He's actually not that.
I think
featured.
It's like
he happens to be in the frame.
It just happens to be Ty having friends that are probably soccer friends.
Oh, but like, if you look at that shot, it's like, it's on him much longer than it is on Ty. Like, Ty kind of barely comes into frame and then it cuts off.
It's true, but I feel like they're just going for the funniness of Ty's expression in the
Right.
Well, by this logic, the bridge on the next frame is a new character.
Yeah.
The bridge is a very important character, apparently.
The bridge is very important. So is the sky.
Oh, the sky is very important.
Also, only 3 of the 8 characters have phones in their hands.
That is almost everyone, actually.
It's Izzy, Mimi, and Joe.
Okay, Ty is holding a water bottle phone, first of all.
Uh-huh.
I think it's supposed to be 2005. I think it's 3 years after 02.
Wait, didn't everyone have a phone in the second Diaboromon movie, technically?
You mean like everyone, like these characters, or everyone in the world, like everyone in Japan?
Pretty much everyone.
Yeah, I do remember phones being very common, and that would have been in 2012 or 2003. So I think cell phones are supposed to be pretty common in Japan at this point. This would have been when we were in 10th grade.
I'm just saying that in their stills or their little life shots, like most of them were not with phones.
Sure, because my point was that everyone had a phone. I see now that Sora is holding a card, like an index card, not a phone, but you're right. Fine. It seems like a lot of people.
But speaking of phones, did anyone notice the keychain?
Oh, yeah. I didn't.
Well, the phone charm.
I didn't see it until I heard it pointed out.
It's a hat. It's her hat.
Wait. Oh, there's her hat and a Monzaemon.
I'm pretty sure that's an eye.
Wait, no.
Like a blob with an eye.
I think it's supposed to be the hat, just poorly animated.
It's definitely the hat.
I don't think so. It looks like a cute mascot character. Oh, it's a bird.
What?
Are you blind?
Ashley, you need to weigh in.
I'm not looking at it right now.
Definitely her hat.
There is a bird, too. There's something underneath the hat. There's definitely a Monzaemon next to the hat, though.
Sure.
Well, that's what I was talking about.
Okay, so you all agree with the Monzaemon. But yeah, I think that is a hat and is not an important detail. So it wasn't heavily, there wasn't much animation attention to it. But yeah, I think it looks weird from this perspective and is a hat.
I don't think it's a hat.
Well, I have to say to that, well, I can't really say it audibly. Well, verbally, but I would make Mimi's face to you.
I literally don't know what else it could be besides a hat.
Jeff, you have no idea about the appeal of mascot characters in Japan.
No, we do, because we watched the John Oliver segment on it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I saw a paranoia agent. That's all I need to know. Okay, so the next new, potentially, character is at 458 seconds, and this seems pretty clear is supposed to be the same girl under the bridge from the first one, because they then show her doing something with the phone and then show the shot from under the bridge, which seems like a kind of sloppy
You missed a character.
What?
Wait, what times period?
This is only 10 seconds after the last one. I don't think I'm... Or wait, no.
Are we talking about...
You missed the dude, then.
We just talked about the dude.
No, the other dude.
At 50 seconds, we talked about the dude at 50 seconds.
No, there's before the girl is there, there is the other dude that people speculate is Ken.
I don't know.
No, actually, play at 50.
This is a guy, it looks...
Play at 50.
We're talking about 57, 56,
yeah, 57.
There's no one at 57. What are you talking about?
Yeah, there is.
I'm looking at... Are we looking at different uploads?
I'm looking at the one I put in the Slack.
Wait.
I'm looking at the official Toei one.
Yeah, the official Toei one.
Wait, so I think we're talking the same character.
No, we're not.
Because I thought this was the girl from under the bridge.
She doesn't have glasses!
Okay, the one piece of evidence I had distinguishing them is that this person doesn't have glasses, but other than that, they're the same character.
No, they don't look at all the same.
I think they took glasses off characters just to piss everyone off and confuse them.
Where does this logic even come from?
No, they don't look the same! She has long hair!
They probably have totally different builds.
Yeah, are you serious right now?
There is a shadow behind this person that looks almost like hair, I think, is what confused me. Like, I thought that they had a long thing of hair beneath behind them.
This is a totally different character.
So then why did they show this character and then immediately flash to the scene from the first PV?
Because they're new characters.
Yeah.
But why would they show an old scene?
They're important.
And this is the one that people think is Ken.
How is this Ken?
Yeah, this is like reddish hair, isn't it?
No!
This looks more like Masaru from Savers than Ken.
Oh, it totally does. Their frame looks so lean.
Masaru punched through the digital world to get here.
Yeah, I totally thought this was a girl. So now this makes sense because in Lost in Translation, I think Mei was talking about a character whose gender was not clear and she was hoping was non-binary. And I was like, who? Was there anyone whose gender was not... I don't remember anyone's gender not being clear. And apparently, because I was convinced this character looked feminine.
I am convinced this character looks feminine but is male. And that if Digimon tries to do anything with gender, it's going to end up horrible. Just like anything else that ends up being that way in anime. Most of the time.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think this is a older character. I don't even think it's like a teenager.
You think they're older than the main cast?
Yeah, it looks like an office.
I assume it was a bedroom.
Yeah, I assume this is a bedroom and he's sitting in a chair.
I don't know, it looks kind of like an office.
There is not enough detail for me to make that decision.
I am basing it solely on the blinds.
The blinds do remind me of an office when I think about it, but...
What? The blinds can be in bedrooms, though.
My bedroom has blinds.
Yeah, my bedroom has blinds.
Yeah, but this also kind of looks like a business district.
There is no description of what those buildings are. They could be apartment buildings and stuff.
They're pretty tall, though.
Apartment buildings can be tall.
Yeah. Oh, what?
We're gotten really mad at each other over this. Okay, so the last new character, who I feel like this is paced to kind of be about, like, it feels more natural for this to be like three shots of the same character, but instead it's like this is a different new character. This one is like very clearly different from the person under the bridge, the person whose gender we can't determine, and
no. See, you think no, the person under the bridge and then the person that they show next look like they could be the same person.
Wait, what? Okay, that's the only possibility. Let me open my mind and oh yeah, totally. Like, they have glasses. They have long hair. I, for some reason, never thought the person on the bridge would have dark hair. But that's just a weird perception.
Are your eyes broken?
Okay. Yeah. So, okay. That's definitely the same character. Okay. Sure.
I'm not going to say they're definitely the same character, but they look like they are the same character.
We are definitely supposed to think they're the same character. That's all I can say.
Except for you, because you're special.
And I do really like what they're doing of, like, you know, showing her doing the same going through the sky thing. You know, like... I mean, there are lots of things we can infer, but like, is she another Digidestin? Is she an evil Digidestin? Is she a good Digidestin? Is she blah, 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 blah. But like...
Is she from another world?
Is she... I can't think of any other speculation.
Is this the Tri-Light Zone?
Back away. I just want to know how long you had that in your hat, Andrew.
5 seconds.
Okay. Okay, I'll give you more credit then. So, yeah, and then they show clips of this room, which I assumed was this new Digidestin's room.
I'm trying to pause on all the different frames.
Yeah, the flames are really quickly, but there's not really much...
Actually, I think it's Tai's room.
There's, like, nothing interesting about this.
But last time they showed Tai's room, it was, like, very, like, showing...
Oh, I think it's Tai's room. There's, like, something on his... on the chair. Like, a gray...
There's even a chair? I didn't see a chair.
The one that's a close-up of the egg clock.
It's easier to adjust as images instead of a video.
I don't know why you think that's Ty's thing, though. It just looks like a sweater.
It looks like something Ty would wear.
No, it looks like anything any of them would wear.
I don't think I have enough evidence. This clock thing is weird and new.
But actually, it kind of looks like the school uniform.
Sure, and that's even more reason why you can't tell who's
roommates. Yeah, I'm gonna say new character's room, because last time we saw Ty's room was with the him picking up goggles and Digivice, and this is a Digivice sitting without goggles. So.
Oh, true.
And also they show a shot of a clock. I don't know if that means anything. It might mean something. I don't know. I mean, they have only so many shots they can show in this short thing. And, you know, you have to consider what to animate and what not to animate. So it seems like toys like that matter. But then again, they lingered on a character who might not even be an important character, just to show Ty making a weird face. Possibly. Maybe. Who knows? I think in discussing all that, we got through all the points that I wanted to talk about, except the last discussion point I had in mind was, what do you think about this trailer and Try in general being for a new audience? Like, who do you think it's for? And do you think this is going to be at all appealing for non-Digimon hardcore fans?
It is definitely for hardcore fans. They cannot make something that only appeals to hardcore fans. Like, it has to lead people to want to watch the rest of it as well. I'm sorry, the cat is like...
What is he doing?
No, he's like rubbing against the mic.
Don't let him do that.
Jeff.
Yeah?
If this was for a new audience, you know what they would do?
No.
They would make a new series.
Yeah, they wouldn't use the old characters.
Yeah.
This is for us.
That is a good point, that like anything that is made to kind of... But I think that's simplifying things. You know, like, if you make a new series and call it Digimon, I think that's immediately going to turn off a ton of people. But if you call it Digimon about this series that, like, everyone fondly remembers this one, and, like, even just in, like, talking to people, like, at my new job, I mentioned Digimon, and they're like, oh, yeah, Digimon's coming back. And it's like, well, okay, Digimon's been around, but, like, yes, the original is getting a sequel. People think of it as, like, being revitalized, and also, I think there's possibility of the group of people that were nostalgic with the first season being so excited about this new season that they advocate it and like talk about it more, that spreads to actually reach more of a new audience than if there was a new series that was completely separate but was still called Digimon. And that's just my theory. But so,
I mean, I don't know. It's partially just following the trend of everything that's happened right now for millennials. Like, it's like everything you loved when you were a child, let's just bring that back.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking about that a lot recently, about how like that's totally a trend, and it seems to be big, and it's probably only getting bigger as people of our age group, you know, get more influential roles in things and have more power in creating large, big budget things.
They have more power in creating, they have more money to like spend on it.
What's weird is that like there's nothing, I mean, this is kind of tangent because I was at a podcasting conference this past weekend, and none of that like resurgence of things from millennials is happening in podcasts at all. Like, or, I don't know, it's just like, there's not, like, most podcasts are by, like, a generation older than us and, like, four generation older than us. And there is some, but, like, and it's also just, like, the demographics of the conference are kind of all of that group. But, like, having a podcast for people that are, like, in college or just graduate college, like, wait, what? But it's definitely fitting into the theme of, like, remaking things and nostalgia, driving marketing and stuff. But I don't know. What I was more interested in is, like, I think the Try as a whole is going to appeal to people who have not seen Adventure or like aren't Digimon hardcore fans but like know the premise. But this trailer, I think that this, and especially the first one, but this one to a lesser degree, but still this one, is really made for us, is made for people that are hardcore fans or just fans in general, and not really made to people who just think it looks kind of cool. I thought it'd be a good point to mention our Ashley and our friend who messaged Ashley, who saw the poster that was released, which I'll have a link to in the show notes if you haven't seen it. It's a really cool poster that's just showing Omnimon / Omegamon fighting Alphamon with like Ty and Matt on Omnimon's sword. Or I don't know where Matt's sitting. Matt's like sitting on Alphamon's sword or something on his pole. Or, I don't know. It was weird. But it looks really cool, and I should get it printed. But it looks really cool, and this friend of ours saw it and like messaged Ashley and was like, "This looks cool. Can you tell me about it?" And Ashley was like, "I have a podcast about this."
Yeah, it's this episode.
But yeah, so I definitely think it's appealing. Like, you know, this looks like a much more cool thing than Digimon necessarily would. And, you know, like, part of it is just like, it looks, it's like good animation now. And like,
sure.
the stuff is going to be like those promotional. I mean, it's actually interesting, like the contrast between like the promotional stuff that was like the, I guess I'm looking at it now, this is my background on my desktop, but the trolley and all the kids together, like that's not really going to appeal to people who don't have a nostalgic attachment, but like, you know, an epic looking fight between Omegamon and Alphamon is going to appeal to people who don't have invested interest in the characters. So I think they're trying to go for both.
I think the poster's doing that work, but like this trailer, what leads me to believe that it's for us is just like in neither of these trailers has there been any speaking or like narration. Like it's just a remix of Butterfly, which only matters to you if you like know what that is in the first place.
It's true. Like there's nothing like if I hadn't seen it when I watched the show, I'd be like, why should I care? I mean, I might actually be annoyed because I'd be like, you expect me to know this? How dare you expect me to know things?
I mean, you might be like, yeah, it looks pretty, but like you'd have no context or anything, really.
Yeah, totally. And yeah, I don't know. I don't know how much it's possible to infer the intent of the actual creation from the way it's marketed. Because I what seems like a feasible and likely and smart goal is to, you know, in all the marketing, in all the like marketing like videos, to, you know, hammer and get the dedicated fan base really interested in it, and for the more viralable stuff like posters to get people who just like glimpse at it and then be like, oh yeah, that was cool, I'm interested in it when it comes out, and to just like get the hardcore people talking about it so much that like when it comes out, like, you know, everyone says it's really amazing, and people who like haven't seen it are like, oh, everyone says it's amazing, like I should see it, but I guess it's not really a movie that people can go see like that, so I have no idea. When things like this are mostly released in a format where you have to spend $60 to buy a thing, like, I don't know. Maybe they expect in such a thing that like only the hardcore fans are going to be the ones who buy that.
I don't know.
Cause I mean, if most anime is, you know, produced in a way that gets it on TV and people can just see it passively and they be like, oh, it looks cool, and then learn about it more and then buy it on Blu-ray, that's totally different than things that are like, you know, just buy it on Blu-ray for $64 to see it at all. But I don't really know much about this whole market of such things to speak on that. Because it seems like when things like that are done, they're done in a much more high budget, better way that's good for us.
Sure. I guess I'm just trying to think of like, they clearly make tons of money or like expect to, because they also are remaking all the toys and stuff. And it's like, people are willing to spend more than $60 for that. So why wouldn't they buy the Blu-ray?
It's just normalizing it. It's like, yeah. No, I don't know. I mean, Digimon has always been about selling the toys, hasn't it?
Well, most anime is.
Yeah. Does Digimon actually have more merchandising than most anime these days, though? I assumed it does.
Debatable. But it might be a little more high quality. It's just, I don't really hear as much news because they don't have as dedicated fan sites out here.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you would know from like being in Japan, but like there was, aside from Yo-Kai Watch, like was there lots of merchandise of currently airing or just having aired anime?
Let's just say, I was in Japan starting like, I think the second, within days of the first episode of Yurikuma, there was already merchandise.
Hmm.
I was very surprised.
Was it good merchandise?
I mean, it was small stuff like, cell phone charms.
Do those still sell? Like, cause like, you can't attach them to like iPhones.
Yeah, you can. They use the jack to put your headphones in.
Oh, that's weird. Do you just have it like permanently plugged into your headphones?
Yeah. Well, the slot for the headphones.
I guess that makes a lot of sense.
If you want to use the headphone thing.
Well, then you just like unplug it and.
It's annoying.
Oh, it doesn't that annoying to me.
But yeah, like, there tends to be a lot of merchandise for even small shows. Just.
Yeah, I guess there's a distinction between like premium merchandise, though, and stuff that's just on the streets and, you know, small stuff like that.
Like, the really popular stuff will definitely get statues and stuff, but the majority will be just small trinkets.
But, like, sure, but I'm saying, like, people are willing to spend, you know, like, $100 on a figure.
Yes.
They make tons of figures, so, like, presumably you're willing to make...
The thing is, for those high-end figures, they'll probably just make a few hundred, maybe 1,000, but...
I don't think the market for that is that huge.
They just make enough that they think will sell.
Yeah. And, I mean, I assume they make, you know, like, a decent profit on each one, so...
That's why they're so expensive.
Yeah, and also why they don't need to sell that many to, like, make back fixed costs. of designing them.
Actually, if you ever like have the time, you guys should just look at the weekly DVD sales that they post on Anime News Network.
Oh, yeah. We just hear about that and don't really see it.
It's actually kind of sad. Like, some shows that make the list have, like, a few hundred sales.
Mm-hmm. This is true of everything. Like, in books, looking at the New York Times bestseller list, you're like, oh, these books must have sold a ton. No, that's not true at all. Like, there are books in that list that could have sold a couple hundred copies. And just, like, that week, that's all you needed.
Well, you also have to keep in mind that America is a much bigger country.
Huh. Yeah, I didn't really consider that. You can find the show notes for this episode at podigis.com/006. Go there to find thorough notes on everything we mentioned on the podcast and to leave and read feedback in our comments section. Follow Podigis on Twitter, Tumblr, and Facebook to get lots of extra images, GIFs, and other fun stuff related to the show, and keep up with us between episodes. You can also send feedback on social media or in the discussion threads for the podcast on With the Will and r/Digimon on Reddit. You can find me on Twitter at JeffOnlyJeff, Ashley on Twitter at AshMcD00, and Asher on Tumblr at AsherDashery. You can also find links to all of our podcasts and personal social media on podigis.com. If you like the show, please subscribe, leave a review on iTunes, and share it with your friends. If your friends don't like Digimon, wait until a plane flies by and then teleport them into the middle of an airfield and start attacking them. We're sorry for our extended break these past couple months, but we're going to be releasing the final 02 episode soon, and then come back for Tamer soon after that. Bye.
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 And remember, never stop Digirolling.
I bought a Fate's Day night for the Vita.
Huh.
When I was why in would Japan. You do that?
Because why not?
Because it's the best anime ever, Ashley. Pixel, I'm going to hit you.
Wait, that's bad.
During the week that I'm looking at, a Despicable Me DVD thing got 666 sales.
Okay, that sounds like not that much, actually.
That's the number of the beast.
Oh, sorry. Still not surprising from Despicable Me, though. Yeah, I assume everyone saw the, like, giant Despicable Me parade float that was in the middle of the street in, like, the woods or somewhere. Did no one see this on Twitter?
I didn't understand any context.
I the first time I saw it, I think it was explained what happened. Every time after that was like, this is how the world ends and stuff like that. Bye. And remember, never stop. Oh, wait. You're also supposed to bye. Sorry. Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.